Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, it's good to be on the air with you today.
Amen. It's been a little bit since
I know.
We've been together. So
I had the misfortune of catching pneumonia, brother.
Yes, we were praying for you.
Pneumonia.
But we are sure thrilled to be able to work together again.
I have missed being on the broadcast, but you and Dr. Kimbrough and the others who filled in did an outstanding job, and I'm thankful for the ministry there. We're actually going to be talking about a topic today that I think is a very fitting one, and certainly one that many of our listeners are going to face at different times in their life. And actually, it's exciting because this broadcast is kind of the introduction broadcast to a series of broadcasts that will be coming on in the days that follow. We're talking really about how to handle adversity. And Doc, why don't you take a minute and kind of tell our audience how this series actually came about?
Well, it started as far as the presentation of this in our Friday night Christmas concert. One of the most unusual Christmas concerts I've ever been able to be a part of. And while it was the exaltation of Christ, it was interspersed with testimonies of suffering, how people have suffered, and how God has been glorified in the midst of that suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not seen any of the rehearsals, so I was totally taken with this whole thought of what a great way to present to the world the fact that believers are not exempt from suffering, and God never wastes experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of that testimonial was from Doug Doolittle, one of our staff. And one of our other speech faculty read Doug Doolittle's testimony. To catch you up, Doug Doolittle, as we speak, is in the process of dying.
Right.
With the final stages of cancer. He has been a faithful staff member, just a blessing.
He's been here for 7 years.
Yeah, a godly 7 years
as a staff member.
Yes, and he was here for several years as a student as well.
Yeah, he told me he came when he was a junior when you became the president in 1984.
Has been a model. He and his wife have been models of Christian behavior, and I'm sure while they go through dark times, especially when you see him sitting with his children around him, even when they bump him, it's painful because of the tumors. And yet all of his communiques have been encouraging, exalting of the Lord.
It's really a very powerful testimony,
yes.
Isn't it?
And so we thought it would be just refreshing for those of you who are going through some difficult times right now. And it is interesting that the most suicides are right in the Christmas season, mm-hmm. and shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pain, a lot of loneliness, a lot of mm-hmm. hurt that is going on. A lot of questioning of really, is God really good?
Mm-hmm.
During the time when it is the celebration of the birth of Christ. And we thought it would be very fitting to deal with how does a Christian really handle adversities. And it was not just Doug's testimony, Carol Trahan, others who have been through losses, I heard one testimony I never heard of from one of our students, the burning of their home. They'd literally lost everything.
Mm.
It was a time where the whole family had to start completely over.
Mm. I know that it squares theologically in the scriptures, but how do you help somebody come to grips with the goodness of God on one hand and the personal suffering that we go through to differing varying degrees as believers? How do you square those two?
Well, a good Old Testament parallel is the statement, Jacob have I loved, and then study Jacob's life.
Yeah, Esau have I hated, and I want some of that instead of what Jacob got.
And how we define what is great and good for us may really be devastating for us
mm-hmm.
long-term in character mm-hmm. and long-term in eternal reaping.
Mm.
And what God was lovingly doing to Jacob was bringing him piece by piece, taking every layer of onion off till we got right down to the real core of what Jacob really was. And last 17 years of his life, he really got to fulfill what God had intended for him. But he went through a lot of hoops.
I know. I mean, it's amazing.
And you look at the heartache and the suffering that he went through, just the absence of his son, of Joseph being taken. So when you look at the theological perspective of it, that God in love kept boxing Jacob in, A, because it was to his glory, and B, it was to the changing of Jacob's character.
Mm-hmm, right.
And none of us want suffering, we don't like suffering, we don't like to see people suffer, and yet God in his wisdom knows that there are certain things that the unbelieving world has to observe in a believer. What makes a believer mm-hmm. different?
How do you counsel, I know you've been through it in your own life with Charlene, and we've talked about that experience on a prior broadcast, but how do you help somebody who is going through this really difficult, particularly when it's unexpected? How do you help somebody?
Well, I've always done three things, and in fact, we're going to be writing a booklet on this. In what I went through some of my deep, dark moments of life, when you can't see through tears, you can't think clearly, and all you can do is bury your head into the scriptures and trust God's working. So there are three A's, I call it. Number one, acknowledge that this indeed is happening, or this indeed has happened.
You know, that this is really the reality.
This is real. This is not a fantasy. I'm not going to wake up and this will have been a dream. This is real.
Mm-hmm.
I have a note in my car right now to make a call to a family who is going through some deep water. I received a call 2 weeks ago from Germany, from a missionary in Germany. I did not know him. My name was given to him by another person who was aware of our ministry. And in utter crying out for this help, because this circumstance that had come into their life mm-hmm. was beyond what they felt they could deal with.
Crushing.
Yeah, crushing type things. So I acknowledge it. This is not a dream. This is not something that I will take an aspirin and this is going to go away. I acknowledge this indeed is real. That's acknowledging it. That happens fairly quickly after the initial shock mm-hmm. is over. In a case of a person coming back from a report that cancer was found.
Like in Doug's case.
In Doug's case. And this was a repeat of what, after he had been declared cancer-free for a period of about 5 years.
Yeah.
Then it was reported. In fact, he was at family camp, first week of family camp, mm-hmm. and was dizzy. And got to a point before the service was over, by the time he got outside, he had to be rushed up to the hospital and then airlifted to Ann Arbor, to the hospital there.
It's interesting how you describe that, because that's almost the exact phrase he used. He said, when I went to the initial reporting this summer, he said, it didn't hit me until I got word from the liver biopsy. And when he said the doctor told him there was no cure, he said that's when it hit him.
And that's where you begin the acknowledging point of all of it. Second thing is accept it. And that is where you have to go again back to the scriptures. Like when I was going through Charlene's ordeal, when I thought she was with the Lord flying back, as you and I
remember
from California. And I had to focus my head in scripture, Psalm 90, Psalm 91. I had to repeat over and over again in my heart, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These are not just concepts. These have to become a conviction. This is really what I believe. And I'm not going to have a problem shake my anchor with God. I'm not going to have him shake my confidence that God is good, always good. And accepting it oftentimes is a long process. The person involved normally has the taste of grace. But the person who is the loved one, the one who is the onlooker,
the spouse, the children,
they don't have that measure of grace that the one actually going through the suffering has. So the one in the suffering often ministers to those who attempt to help. Our real ministry in that case has to be to those who are having a difficult time accepting that this indeed is true.
Right.
The individual involved will see. And the hard part that I had when I thought Charlene was gone was the wild imaginations of the what-ifs of what about the grandkids? What about the children now? What about these things that some of the kids never really got to enjoy. What about Charlene not getting in to see the grandkids grow up, etc.? And thought after thought after thought just flooded in and out, just like a rushing river. And I was like clinging to the log of truth while this flood was coming down out of the mountains.
What an image.
And saying that God is right, God is sovereign, God is in control, God, I trust you, but I beg of you from a human heart to let me keep my wife. And I called it a yo-yo. I'd be high, God's on the throne, down the depths. What if God's on the throne, but what about this? And so I was emotionally like a yo-yo, which I think is very human.
I was going to say, that's reality. Yeah, that's where real people live.
Yeah, that's the reality of all of it. And so accepting is that part. And that is where you have to say, God, I trust, and I rest, and I wait, and not let Satan get any advantage in the midst of all of the trials and difficulties that would come along. And then thirdly, I say accelerate from there.
Now, what do you mean by that one?
That is, I don't look back. I don't let Satan take this to put me backwards.
Okay.
I accelerate from that point. I go on from there and say, God doesn't waste an experience, and I'm going to use this for His glory, the thing that have happened unto me. I'm going to use in order that I, in turn, might be a blessing to someone else who is in the same trouble with the same comfort wherewith I myself was comforted of God. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. Comfort those the way you were comforted by God.
This is the new normal that you sometimes talk about.
And that's what I mentioned in accepting it. A part of that accepting is I wake up one morning and realize I will never know normal like I once knew normal. So two ways I can respond. One is get bitter and destroy myself with bitterness, angry at God. The other is to go to the point where say, okay, God, this is, I won't know normal again, so I create a new normal and make a ministry out of that new normal. That's where you accelerate, because you take that ministry that you made with the new normal. Things I had been through in my life 20 years ago, I still get phone calls. The last two phone calls I had gotten, the one from Germany and the one I am now have a thing in my car to answer when I get back on the cell phone, both are related to something happened in our lives 20 years ago. Because somebody is calling, say, I know that person will understand.
We're going to have the opportunity in the next three broadcasts to hear the testimony of a man who is going through an experience that God isn't going to waste. And I know those of you listening will want to tune in to the next broadcast. But it's been a delight to be back with you, and we trust the Lord will bless you until the next time that we're together.